Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We're holding right in the middle of the daf, which is Amar Rabbi Avuhu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So once again, we've been going through quite a few psukim, both from the original parshas and Achalos, before the problem of the suit against Benot Tzvavchad. We're over there, we made some of the important diyukim of the Seder. Then we went on to the parsha of the Bnei Mochir, Steinus against the Benot Tzvavchad. We found out all types of other diyukim yesterday that showed us that there was two completely different types of asavas and achala, one through a son and one through a wife, which basically left us with the psukim that had originally been brought in the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, which was the issue of Seguv and Yoyer. How in the world did Yoyer have property that Seguv didn't have? And the issue of Pinchas and Elazar, how did Pinchas have property that Elazar ben Aaron didn't have? So originally we thought that that's where we should look for the idea of Hasavas Habal and Hasavas Habain. He says were two extra issues. Now it turns out that since we were so beautifully mimdayik in the psukim, from the Mimatais through the Yidboku and the Acher and so on, so it turns out now we really need another approach for those psukim, because those psukim aren't really teaching us anything at this point. And it just so happens that we've got another thing right up our sleeve, and that other thing is today's Gemara. We just happened to bring it out, because of course, this is the perfect place to discuss it, because for the first time we realize there's got to be another issue. So Amar Rabbi Avu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi, and some say that it was Mishmei Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Minayin Lebaal She'ino Notel Barot Wiki B'Musak. Here's the Chiddush. The truth is, we know that there is a Yerushas Habal, and we know that, generally speaking, this is going to see later, that everyone who is Yoresh even Bekever. In other words, so if the prime Yoresh, let's say his son, is no longer alive, but he has children that are alive, so then the son inherits from the father and gives it to his children, even though the son is no longer alive. As a matter of fact, this is what was going on with Benot Tzvavchad. Benot Tzvavchad ended up taking Chelek Vasa from Chefer and so on. This is from their father. If they continue to be Yoresh everything that their father would have been Yoresh had he been alive. Okay. Now, there's also one particular halacha, however, in which this thing breaks down, and that's by a Bechor. Bechor, we know, has a double portion. However, we learn that from Sukkim, that a Bechor is only Neitel Bechol Asher Yimatzela. Whatever was under the hands of the Morish, the father, at the time of his death, those are the things that the Bechor is Neitel Pishnai. Anything that comes in afterwards, that did not yet, wasn't there yet, wasn't collected yet, on that he's Yorish like all the other children, but he doesn't get a double portion. We have this concept, therefore, of a Morish that is only Morish, what is actually there, Bisman, of his death. Comes along now with the Rebbe, Rebbe Yeshua ben Korcha, to teach that that is the same thing that a Baal does. We have an interesting situation. We have a Baal who has a son. The Baal, Lamaisa, is Yorish from his wife. We've proved that. But what happens if something comes to his wife after her death? The relationship of the Isha and the Baal, Taina's Rebbe, is similar to the din of a Bechor. And a Baal is not Neitel Beroi Kibumukha. Therefore, the curious situation would be that even in the lifetime of his father, the son of that woman would inherit something that the father can't inherit. Because let's say his grandfather, his mother's father, dies and leaves something to his mother, but his mother's no longer alive. He will inherit it, and his father won't inherit it, even though he was married to her. Had his mother been alive, then he would have had to wait till his father died to get that chelek. But now that his mother's not alive, surprisingly, he gets it and not the husband. Okay, well, we're going to look into how we know this. It turns out it's exactly the psukim that now need to teach us something that we don't know anymore what they're for. So minayin labal she'enono tel berot wiki b'muzak. So how do we know that indeed that property that comes in only after the death of his wife does not go to the Baal, and instead it goes to her other heirs? She'ne'emar uskuv holid et ya'ir v'yilo esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz ha'gil'ad. And as we always said, how in the world would Ya'ir have 23 cities that Seguv, his father, didn't have? So, does that make sense? Minayin le'Ya'ir shelo ayalo l'Seguv, ela milamet shenasa Seguv isha, Umeita bechaye morisha. What must have happened is this. Skuv had actually married a woman who died now in the lifetime of her own father, whoever it was that was Morisha. Then after her death, her father dies, leaving now his money to his daughter, who is his only heir. The husband of this daughter, however, is not going to inherit that money, it says here. Instead, it went directly to Yair. So Yair has something that Skuv doesn't have. That must be what happened. And the same thing happens with Elazar ben Aharon. It says over there, Elazar ben Aharon mate, Vayikbru oto begivat Pinchas beno. How in the world did Pinchas have a givah that belonged to Pinchas and did not belong to Elazar? So minayim le Pinchas shelo hayalo le Elazar. Milamed shenasa Elazar isha, umeita bechaye morisha. So here too, Elazar had married this woman, Pinchas' mother. Now she goes ahead and dies before her own father dies. So now comes along, the father dies leaving his estate to his daughter who is no longer alive. And therefore, apparently it went to Pinchas and it didn't go to Elazar. So it bypassed Elazar, which proves that the husband, the only explanation must be, is that the husband is not neita b'roi kibum b'chusar. He's only notel what his wife had while she was alive and subsequently died. But what she collects after she dies is not given to the husband. So it went directly to her son, Pinchas.
What's the actual taicha of roi kibum b'chusar?
That which is ra'ui to be collected had you been alive, but it's not in your hand yet. Had the morish died, but it's not in your hand yet. Right? So it's ra'ui to come. It's potentially there. It's just not yet in hand, as we would say. B'chusar means in hand. So, why did you bring a second raya? What was wrong with the first raya? We're going back to these Va'omer stories. What's the and also it says? Because we know what you might say. V'chitema Yair da'avinasiv idita umeita v'yarta. Who says that it came from Skuv Bichlal? Maybe it's talking about that Yair married a woman, she died, and he was Yarsha directly. I said, why are we assuming that this had to come from his mother? Through Skuv. Why can't it come directly from his own wife? Which is basically the way we understood it before, when we thought we needed to bring a raya from this pasuk that a bal yeresh et ishto. So therefore the Torah repeats, now Elazar ben Aharon mate. Now maybe you'll say what we attempted to say earlier, that perhaps Pinchas got this stada from Sedei Charamim. I'll tell you what the problem is with that, which proves that that can't be it. Because then why in the world would it have said, et giv'at Pinchas b'no? Like, it's only the 50th time that we've heard Pinchas ben Elazar. I mean, to tell me that some Pinchas or other buried Elazar ben Aharon, I mean, come on. We know exactly who buried him, Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. So why do you need to stress b'no? Shot was, it's as if it's saying the irony. Here he died, and he's being buried instead of in his own chalik, in term Pinchas Beno. So it must have been ra'ui to be his. So it was nachala ru'uya lo, had his wife survived long enough to be marisha to him. And instead, yarsha b'no. So the very ma'avar, so to speak, we use the word ma'avar that nachala to. So this is an indication that it was a havarat nachala, something that was ra'ui to go to Elazar directly, but didn't make it to Elazar. Instead went to Pinchas, because Elazar is not Yoresh Berot Wiki Bebuchzak. Whereas, of course, any other heir is. The only other place we have such a concept is the Gabi, the Chelek HaBechora, but certainly not to define the inherent learning, or all straight out of Sefer Yeshua, basically. We're going to slough up these issues again and again. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was B'nei Achot. So B'nei Achot means that a niece or a nephew will inherit the uncle. Tana. B'nei achot, v'lo b'not achot. Now, that's weird. I mean, there's a bride that says, no, it doesn't mean the niece. You said the niece. No, we never said the niece. It's only the nephews. Now, of course, that's crazy. How could it be only the nephews? If the din is that we always go through a node in order to have an achot, and we've already proved that b'mokum she'in bein, that it goes to a bat, how in the world would we come out with a din that the daughters of a sister will not inherit, only the sons of a sister. Where would we get such an idea from? Lamai Yosata. I mean, what are you referring to? Can't really mean the Yerusha. Omer Epsheshet, no, I mean Lekadem. I'm talking about over here is that just as we said when it comes to the direct Yerusha from the father, that the Yoresh, primary Yoresh, we said, is Bain. Im Emo Bain. Only then give it to the Bat. So what we're trying to show here is that this is true under any and all circumstances. So in other words, even though you're a generation later, and now even the person that's being Morish to you is no longer alive. So in this case, basically, the heiress is collecting from a brother who died to a mother who's not alive, and now it goes directly to her. So you might say, okay, that's a second-order Yerusha. I mean, who's to say that the relationship, the difference between male and female, is operative when it's basically coming from an uncle? I mean, maybe that idea, son-daughter, may make a difference in terms of parents. But no, you were trying to say that you're inheriting from an uncle, and the daughter should be the same as the son. Kamash malan, the ben is yorish, that's what he means. He means b'nei achot as the primary, because that's what we were talking about in the Mishnah all along. Who's the primary? We're talking about the ben. B'nei achot, b'no b'not achot. You shouldn't think that it's any nafkamina when it's the second generation. Same thing, tos the kadim. Tani Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Kameder Rav Huna, V'yarash, that Loshen of V'yarash is, it's actually, the V'yarash referring to over here is that last one, right? After we said V'nein Achim, and in Achim La'av, then we said give it to L'sheiro, Akarov Elav, V'mishpachto, the closing word is V'yarash Ota. So that V'yarash Ota, actually, it is the close of the whole thing. But what it means is Makish Yerusha Shnia, whatever possible Yerusha there is at the very end, is true of the original Yerusha. So all along, I take a look at each one of these psukim. That's what we say each time. We always go with a vav. Ve'im in Achim. Ve'im in Achim. Right? It goes through each pasuk. So that means basically we're continuing that original Yerusha all the way to the very end. So we bring the last bit, it was first, im ein ben, goes to a bat, v'yarash. So in other words, that v'yarash basically is makish all of the Yerushot to each other and teaches us no matter what you're talking about. You're talking about the brothers of the deceased. You're talking about the brothers of the father of the deceased. But the bottom line is, whoever you're talking about, it's going to be the same v'yarash that started this going. Just like there you have the Yerusha of the ben, Kedem Labat, so too in every Yerusha, you have the Yerusha of the Ben, Kedem Labat. That's the Rashbam's approach. The Ri doesn't really like that approach so much, and he says that Yerusha, Shnia, does not mean the second stage of Yerusha, the third stage of Yerusha. In other words, no son, daughter, no daughter, brother of deceased, no brother of deceased, brother of the father of the deceased. That's how the Rashbam is learning. So you have the Shnia, the Shlishis, the Raviyas. No. It's talking about the order, not the order of the Yerusha, but rather the generation of the Yerusha. So Yerusha Rishayna would be a Yerusha that goes to the first generation. The Yerusha. So that would mean that if you went back now, the brother died and his sister inherits her, that's because she's a first generation, essentially, that's inheriting from their joint father, who's no longer alive. And it went up to the node and down. But if it goes down one more generation, you might think at that point, they just split it. That's what Yerusha Shnia means. The second generation, which is the ben of the ben, or the bat of the ben, or the ben, or the ben of the bat, or the bat of the bat. That's called Yerusha Shnia. So there, we're talking about also, the Torah is coming to tell us, V'yarash teaches us that that generation has the same limitations of male before female as the first generation did. Maki Yerusha Shnia, Yerusha Shnia, Ma Yerusha Rishona. Bein kodem labat, af Yerusha Shnia, bein kodem labat. Tani Rabba bar Chanina kameder Rav Nachman. V'haya beyom hanchilo et banav et asher yelo. So what is this referring to? It's referring to a father who is attempting to be manchil. So he's trying to get rid of his bechor. He wants to make another child, a bechor. Lo yuchal levaker el ben ha'uva pnei ben hasnua ha'bechor. That's how this whole thing begins. And it says bayom. What that means is, says the Braita, bayom atam apil nachalot v'i atam apil nachalot balayla. You can only bequeath the nachala in the daytime and not in the nighttime. What? In other words, you can't die at night. I mean, that would be very bad news. So you have to die in the day because otherwise there's no nachala. Is that what you're trying to say? Let me add to the shachiv b'yamama who the artile banei. Only somebody dies in the daytime, his children inherit him. B'man de shachiv b'alayla lo yartile banei. What are you talking about? The way you said that over makes absolutely no sense. The Braita has got to be referring to something else. Maybe the intent of the Braita is, and you should be careful how you quote it, is that it's talking about atamapil nachalot. It's talking about the din nachalot ka'amret. Maybe that's what you're talking about. You're talking about where we are determining now how to give out nachalot. So now, maybe a guy is giving a gift to Bichal at his death. In other words, it's what we would call today a living will, essentially. So you're giving rights to this child or this person and so on to Bichal as I die, but not before. So you're getting rights to get at death. So you can have a Kinyan Peres that only becomes now a Kinyan Guf. It is a very popular, basically, for charitable deductions and so on. It's very very modern kind of way of dealing with issues where you don't want to lose control, but you want to make sure that the property is credited to by the IRS as a charitable donation or in the hands of whatever particular child you want it to be, but only after death. Okay, so that must be what it's talking about. And what it's saying is that the halacha that is in the following braita is actually correct from the pasuk of Ayah B'Yomam Chilo. And that's the Tanya. Divaital Ibnei Yisrael lechukat mishpat. At the very end of the whole story of the dinim of the Nachalos, when we close Bamidbar, we call it a chukat mishpat. You know what that means? It means ur'ah, kol ha'parasha kula liyod din. The bottom line is that the way in which we describe the circumstances, the end of this entire halacha is that it is a din that has to go to court like any other din, as Rabbi Yehuda said. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Shlosha shenichlesu levaker tachole. So there's three people, they go in to be mevaker chayla. The chayla wants to be mechalik is nechasim. So he's mechalik is nechasim, that these nechasim should be given to X, Y, and Z at the time that I die. Now, they can either Ratzu kotvim, ratzu osim din. If there's three of them, then there are enough people to be a beit din. So if they want to, they can paskin that din on the spot. And they can basically say, okay, we're now giving the gushpank of the beis din. You would have thought that you don't need a beis din. You would have thought that this is basically the equivalent of a shutafut. Shutafut doesn't require a beit din. People get together, he can write out the contract himself. Kamash malan, that there is in fact a halach when it comes to nachla of defining things because of the chashivas of nachla, it's defined as true din. It's a psak that is given to a person with the keich of the tzibur that exists in the beit din. So therefore, if there's three people that are there, they can actually do it. And they select and they say, this is your field, this will be your field, this will be your field. What if there's only two? If there's two, they write it as a will, and they sign as witnesses. They know sim din. At that point, I can't do the din. The Omer of Chista, this entire description, and that must be, now I understand, says Reb Nachman. What you were saying in front of Reb Nachman, says Abaye, what you were saying in front of Reb Nachman, Vaya Bayom, is a reference to what Reb Chista said. Where do we say that if you want, you can create the din on the spot? Lo Shano Ela Bayom. And this is a din like any other din in which a bezdin can only begin a halacha during the daytime. But if you were called into such an event, someone is on his deathbed and is giving out these properties, and it's the nighttime, you cannot be a beit din because it has the same din as any court procedure. Which you would have thought is not really a court procedure. comes along the Torah to say to be a chukat mishpat. And therefore, it also has the halakha of biyom tzavoto, which is equivalent here to biyom antchilo. So even though we know that that's true about all dinei mominis, but the makor of the halakha here adds even a chalukah, which doesn't seem on the surface, to demand a court decision. Everybody's engaged in something on their own, and they're making it out. So this is basically the modern idea of a will needing to go through probate and being determined and defined by the Kayach HaBezdin. And until such time as it's presented, it doesn't have that Kayach that a normal contract does. So therefore, it says Rav Chisda, if you were there at the night time, then we have a problem. Because Lo Shanu Ela Benyom Avo Balayla, even if you've got three people, Afilu Shlosha, Kotvim Ve'inosim Din. These three people can only sign on the contract. They cannot make a din. Why can they not make a din? Da'avlu edim ve'in ed na'aseh dayan. There's no way to make a din once you signed on something as a dayan for it. And even in the next morning, you want to sit down now and say, no, there's three of us, we all saw it last night, let's sit down and be kaveyayit. There's no way to do that. Because you're no longer a dayan, you're a witness. As a witness, you can't paskin. The most you can do is testify before a dayan. So therefore, you'll have to actually, like we have by Rosh Chodesh, if the Bezdin saw the new moon, but it was already the night, so there's no way they could paskin that the Chodesh is bekudash. So therefore, they have to split up. So those two of them will be meid, and then the others can paskin based on that edut. But something that you know is not sufficient to paskin on. Right? It's the same halacha. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say that there's a possibility that it's the same halacha. Not everyone agrees, as I'll tell you in a moment. But pashtus, this is the same halacha of the fact that your knowledge of a thing doesn't allow you to paskin it. You have to have witnesses. So that if a court knows for a fact that somebody killed someone, in other words, there were only two people that were there, one guy's chasing the other guy with a knife, and they rush into the room, and there the guy's dead, and this guy's holding the knife, dripping blood, it sure wasn't him who committed suicide. So, therefore, you'd think you could paskin, but you can't. You're stuck. There's nothing to do. There's no testimony, and therefore you cannot paskin. Question is, if you see the murder yourself, so then you could paskin. But that's because you're a dayan, not an aid. If you see it, but it's at night, and you can't be a dayan at that point, so now there's a problem, because then the next morning, you're only accessing the information that you know. But knowledge is not sufficient to paskin. So now we're in trouble again, because you didn't see it. So therefore, all you can do is testify that you saw it, but you can't be the dayan that paskins it based on what you saw. Now, There is a very different, I shouldn't say strange, a very different approach of the Rashbam. The Rashbam learns that when you see something, you are either an aid or a dayan. So, memela, this would be true even if you had intentions. He says, take a look what it says over here. It says, if you shlosh yedichus levaker tachole. Why did they have to go to be Mavakir the Chola? Why couldn't they have been called in order to be the witnesses for his will? I mean, it's very reasonable. The guy's dying. He wants to give out. So just say he called his friends in to be witnesses on his will. Because then it's clear they couldn't be Dayanim because they were invited to be witnesses. Once you invite someone as a witness, that re'iyah is not the re'iyah of a dayan, it's the re'iyah of an aid. Tosfos disagrees with that approach vehemently. See, the Rashbam compares it to the idea of three people, let's say, that witness something, and one is a father and one is a son to that father. So now the whole cot is no good if they intended to witness it. So Tosfos says it. So Rashbam says, you see from there, that it has something to do with the fact of you're having testified, it has to do with the fact of having seen it, with an intent to testify. That creates an edus, that passels the count if there's krovim, and therefore it's no good. Same thing over here. Says the Tosfos, there's no connection. It's two completely different issues here. The idea of Ein Eid Naaseh Dayan has nothing to do with the Gzirat HaKatruv or what defines a Katav Eidim. It's completely unrelated. It may well be true that in terms of the definition of a Katav Eidim, it's Re'iyah with intent to testify. But Ein Eid Naaseh Dayan only means an aid who testifies can't be the Dayan for what he's testifying. He's either testifying in front of the Dayan, or he is the Dayan that they're testifying to. But he can't put on two different hats, testify for himself, and then paskin based on what he testified. That's all that it means. Okay, so this is a rather fundamental machlokas that has a lot of implications in terms of halachas of Dayanut and Eidim, which I guess we'll wait until we get to Besachat Sanhedrin to get into. But it certainly, it seems to me, Tainas Abayin, that that is what your bright is really talking about. All it's trying to say is that there's a din of biyom, not biyom atamapil nachalot, but biyom atayachol liyot beitin lemishem apil nachalot is what it means. But balayla, you cannot on the spot spontaneously be mapil nachalot. Now that makes a lot of sense. Amalei, well, of course, that's what I was saying, you know. So in hakinamika, I mean, it's exactly what I was saying. Amar Rabbi Avu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yadai, Amar Rabbi, and some say it was Mishmei the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Minayin leba'al, she'eno notel bera'oi kebemuzak, she'nemar seguv, holidat ya'ir, v'ahila 23 arim be'eretz hagil ad. Now minayin le'ya'ir, shlo ya'ala le'seguv. Clearly what must have happened is that melamed, she'nasa seguv isha, v'meta, Bechaye Morishea, let's say while her father was alive, and then Metu Morishea, after she died, her father dies, and now Yair, her son, is Yoresher instead of Zkuv. It all says the same thing by Elazar ben Aaron. Vomrev Elazar ben Aaron made, Vaikbru Tobi, Givat Pinchas Bino. So now Minayin le Pinchas, Shelo Hayalo le Elazar. Melamed Shedasa Elazar Isha, Umeta Bechaye Morishea, Umeitu Morisheha v'yasha Pinchas. So why do we need two rayas? My v'aymer v'chitema. Well, Yair doesn't prove anything because Yair might have been nasiv itata v'meita, and then maybe he directly inherited it v'yasha. Therefore, I need to. But lomar v'Elazar ben Aaron mate. Now you'll say, well, certainly we don't need two psukim to tell me exactly the same case. That's for sure not. So you'll say maybe the second pasuk is coming to tell me that he was Yoresh Estei Haramim. Chitema. The Nafale Bestei Haramim. Now, the point over here is that it re-identifies Pinchas as Elazar's son. Beno. Omar Grab Beno. That can only mean that it was a Nachalah that was actually Yalo to the father. And instead, isn't that weird, is what the Pasuk is saying. Instead, it ended up being Givat Pinchas Beno. How could that be? In terms of prioritizing, it's the kadem. Tani Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amed Rav Huna v'yarash v'lamakish Yerusha Shniyali Yerusha Rishona. So we have a series of vavs that culminates in the final Yerusha. V'yarash, this is all one long hekesh from the first Imein Levain all the way to the last possible case, and that's Makish, the final Yerusha, basically to the first Yerusha. Ma Yerusha Rishona, the Bein is Kodem Labat, Beferusha Naposek, Av Yerusha Shnia, Bein Kodem Labat. Toni Rabba Bar Chanina, Kameder Reb Nachman. It says in the Torah, Vaya Bayom Enchiloed Banav. This teaches that Biyom Ata Mapil Nachalot, V'I Ata Mapil Nachalot Balayla. Amalei Abaye, that really makes a lot of sense. Elamiata. The Shachiv be your mama, who the Yartele Bane, and man the Shachiv Alayla, lo Yartele Bane. Maybe you should be a little bit more exacting in how you repeat this. Dilma din nachalot kamrit, and indeed the Tanya, Vaitala vene Yisrael chukat mishpat, ur a kola parasha kola liyot din. And the Rav Yehuda points out what that means. Dilma Rav Yehuda. Shlosha shenichlesu levakeret acholeh, Ratzu kotvim, ratzu osim din. If they're only Shnayim, they have no choice, because they're not enough to be a Beit Din. So they can only be Kotvim as witnesses, but Inosin Din. The Omer of Chista, the distinction between two and three, is Dafka Beyond. But if it was Balayla, even three would only be able to be witnesses, and they would be Kotvim. Ve'inosim Din. My time at Avilu Huedim. Ve'in Eid Na'aseh Dayan. Now that would have been a much smarter way to say over the Baraita. Omalei, well, that is what exactly what I was saying. In. Achinami kam inam.